U.S.'s economy is still struggling with near 10% unemployment, but the revolution and uprisings in North Africa and the Middle East affecting oil prices there, as reported by Mike Kellerman from Washington.
To the Senate Banking Committee, Bernanke is defending the Fed's $600 billion U.S. government bond purchase stimulus program to prop up the U.S. economy, and predicts that the modest economic growth expected this year is unlikely to make a dent in unemployment, still stuck at around 9%.
If the rate of economic growth remains moderate, as projected, it could be several years before the unemployment rate has returned to a more normal level. Until we see a sustained period of stronger job creation, we cannot consider the recovery to be truly established.
But it's the sudden rise in oil and gas prices, due in part because of troubles in the Middle East, that has Bernanke and other federal officials here extremely worried about its effect on the American economy and chances that that economy will recover this year.
Now the answer to why those people were mad, the one we ran in the headlines. Well, it happened in the United States. For almost 2 weeks, tens of thousands of Americans had taken to the streets to protest what they call the weeding of rights of the American worker. Demonstrators have said they have to protest in order to save the American dream.
At least 70,000 demonstrators flooded the square around the Wisconsin Capitol on Saturday. The protest broke out nearly 2 weeks ago after Republican Governor Scott Walker's proposal to strip public sector unions of most of its collective bargaining rights. Under the Wisconsin's governor's bill, state workers must increase contributions to their pensions by nearly 6% of their salaries and double contributions to their health insurance premiums to 12.6%. This would result in a cut in take-home pay of around 8%. Walker argues he's left with no other options, faced with a deficit of $137 million in the current state budget and the prospect of a $3.6 billion hole in the coming two-year budget. This on top of the state facing combined deficits that may reach $125 billion in the next fiscal year. But critics say the bill is an attack on working class America, thinly veiled as an attempt to balance the budget. Wisconsin's State Assembly on Friday approved the controversial proposal. The plan now needs state Senate approval. Meanwhile, hundreds of angry protesters have occupied the state capitol in Wisconsin to condemn the move. Wisconsin governor has ordered the National Guard to expel the protesters from the building. But police forces have joined the protesters, saying it is their right to protest. The protesters have denounced Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker as a dictator and have compared him with ousted Egyptian dictator Hosni Mubarak, who brutally used police forces to suppress anti-government movements in the country. Some critics see the popular protests in the U.S. as shadowing the uprisings in Egypt, Tunisia, Libya, and other Arab countries.
I think it's unbelievable, in fact, how much the middle class, not just the working class, not just blue-collar workers, white-collar workers, but basically the middle class is under attack by an oligarchy, basically, of people who want to control the nation's economy.
A doctor who had three of his daughters killed during Israel's attack on Gaza was Amina Taylor's guest in the program Remember Palestine, which made for some heartfelt moments for a father who is still suffering from this terrible tragedy.
Just over 2 years ago, during the Gaza war, Israeli bombs fell on the home of a Gazan doctor, killing three of his daughters and their cousin. With his other children badly wounded, and knowing an ambulance getting across Gaza's destroyed streets would probably be too late, he called the only link he had to the outside world. A journalist on Channel 10 who was in the middle of a live broadcast.
בבית שלו, אבו לש, תגיד לי את הבית שלך, איפה אתה נמצא, אולי ישלחו אמבולנסים אליך, אולי יאפשרו להגיע אליך באמבולנסים.
אני מציע שתעזוב את האולפן ואני
תנסה לדבר עם הדוקטור אבו לש.
פשוט אני לא יכול לתת את השיחה, אז תסלחו לי.
His impassioned plea brought alive a reality that no news report could possibly match. It represented the sheer desperation that reverberated again and again throughout Gaza during the 22-day assault.
It is not to take me back. I'm living it now. It's with me now, every moment.
Yes.
It's my life. It runs. And it will continue to run the whole of my life. This moment that I don't want anyone to see what have I seen or to experience it. In that crazy moment when the world was watching what happened in Gaza. I don't believe in impossible things. The only impossible thing I believe in my life is to return my daughter's back. And I am moving forward, as I said, with one goal, to bring my daughter's justice and not to be drowning or blind, immersed with hate. God bless my children. My daughter, Shada, who was severely wounded, she lost the sight in one eye, but she didn't lose it in the other. What did she suffer in life? In 1 year, mountains can't bear that. She lost her mother 4 months before.
Take a look at the program, Cinepolitics. It took a look at a documentary which looked at the take that American financial institutions were on during the mortgage and loan crisis. Now, interestingly, the guest of the program explained his experience on how easy it was getting a loan from the financial institution, GMAC.
The financial industry exploded. People on Wall Street started getting rich.
Share prices continued to tumble.
Lehman Brothers was forced to declare itself
bankrupt.
When were you first told that Lehman, in fact, was going to go bankrupt?
After the fact.
After the fact? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, I have some people in my constituency that actually robbed some of your banks. And they say the same thing.
A friend of mine who's involved in a company that has a big financial presence said, well, it's about time you learned about subprime mortgages. So he set up a session with his trading desk and me. And the techie who did all this gets very excited, runs to his computer, pulls up in about 3 seconds, this Goldman Sachs issue of securities. It was a complete disaster.
When the financial crisis struck just before the 2008 election, Barack Obama pointed to Wall Street greed and regulatory failures as examples of the need for change in America. After taking office, Obama spoke of the need to reform the financial industry.
We want a systemic risk regulator, increased capital requirements. We need a consumer financial protection agency. We need to change Wall Street's culture.
But in its first year, the Obama administration did not enact a single major financial reform.
Yes. You know, let me say something about what we saw in the film here. Mm-hmm. I am one of these people who I owned some property. Mm-hmm. The value of the property, I bought it in 2000 for $250,000. Mm-hmm. I needed cash. One of the luckiest bankers, I think, is GMAC, when they loaned me the money because I'm still paying the payment.
Right.
I needed $1 million. On the $250,000 property in Washington, D.C., they loaned me $1 million.
The Fajr International Film Festival, Iran's version of the Oscars, without the mega million-dollar budgets. Well, these movies are something to be seen. Recently, it was the 29th festival. It was held in the capital, Tehran, and it was featured in the program Iran by Gisu Misha Ahmadi.
سیمرغ بلورین بهترین بازیگر مرد به همراه یک دستگاه خودروی سمند اهدا می شود به آقای مهدی هاشمی برای فیلم آقا یوسف و آلزایمر.
We have come a long way over the past 30 years from the fights in cafes that excited the masses. Today, Iranian cinema has found its place.
More than 70 movies were screened over the past 10 days, and some of Iran's best filmmakers took part in this year's event.
A glimpse at the long list of nominations with the familiar names shortlisted is enough to get an idea of how tough the job of the jury was. Everyone agrees that this year picking out the best was even more difficult, with Iran's top filmmakers and actors presenting the best of their talents. This is a big moment for everyone.
سیمرغ بلورین بهترین بازیگر زن به همراه یک دستگاه خودروی سمند اهدا می شود به ویشکا آسایش. برای فیلم ورود آقایان ممنوع.
ببینیم اگه سناریو خوب باشه و نقش خوب باشه.
If the scenario is good and the characters are strong, comedies have a great chance to win awards. In my case, the script was well written, witty and well thought out. Of course, I really wasn't expecting to win.
On to PressTV.ir. Well, this past week it featured Islamic Awakening inspired entries. Here's a look.
Iran's Islamic Democracy Global Model. Iranian Vice President Mohammad Reza Rahimi said nations across the globe are demanding democratic establishments like the one in the Islamic Republic of Iran. Referred to the recent revolutions and popular uprisings as mass movements inspired by the 1979 Islamic Revolution in Iran, and further added that proper management at macro levels is attainable through a religious government.
Thanks so much for watching this edition. Well, aside from PressTV.ir, you can watch this program and repeats of the features on our YouTube address, PressTV.ir. Don't forget, send us any comments to our email, realitycheck@PressTV.ir. Until next week, it's goodbye for me, Kaveh Taqvi.